Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. As we announced yesterday, we are looking at a book titled Mormon Enigma, Emma Hale Smith. It was written by two female authors, Linda King Newell and Valene Tippetts Avery. It was a book that received quite a few awards when it first came out. It became very popular right away, mainly focusing on the things, I guess you could say, that Emma Smith had to put up with when she lived with her husband, Joseph Smith. And as we mentioned yesterday, when Eric cited a statement by Brigham Young said, when it came to Joseph Smith, we can find no person who presents a better character to the world when the facts are known than Joseph Smith Jr. Well, this book talks about facts. This book talks about evidence. This book is talking about actual history. And even though it received quite a few awards when it first came out, the Mormon Church did not respond too kindly to it. So we're looking right now at an article that was found in Dialogue, a Journal of Mormon Thought. It's volume 35, number 2, the summer 2002 edition. It was titled A History of Dialogue, Part 3, Coming of Age in Utah, 1982 to 1987, written by Devery S. Anderson. This book is online if you want to look it up, so just Google all those facts that I just gave you, and you should be able to find a PDF version of it.
Before we read this, who were some of the people that helped them with this book?
That's a great question, and I'm glad we're going to touch on that, because they do acknowledge quite a few historians who helped them in putting this work together. In fact, if you were to look in the book, in the introduction, it's Roman numeral 20 and 21. They talk about a debt of gratitude to the librarians and staff, and then they give all these places, these various libraries. But then they mention a number of people, and as I'm going through this, I'm recognizing a veritable who's who of Mormon historians. I mean, Ronald Esplin, Dean Jesse, Leonard J. Arrington, Lyndon W. Cook, Andrew E. Hatt, Robert B. Flanders. These are people that know their Mormon history. They acknowledge a lot of these people, and it's a big, long list of people that actually helped them in their research and putting this work together. And as we mentioned yesterday, it took them, 9 years in putting this book together.
Well, I think even a lot of the historical books we have on our bookshelves, like Richard Bushman or...
He's on there, too. He's on that list.
Van Wagner. I mean, I just look at all the books that we have, and I think most of the authors are listed in that one paragraph.
They are. I mean, here's Marvin S. Hill. I mean, it's
they're respected.
They're very respected. I think that's important for people to know that. These are respected historians. This article in Dialogue shows how when it first came out that it was very popular and received the Best Book Award from the Mormon History Association, shared in the $10,000 Evans Biography Award, then administered through BYU and presented to the authors by University President Jeffrey R. Holland, who is now serving as an apostle in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And then the John Whitmer Historical Association awarded it its Best Book Award also. But then the next paragraph.
Well, what happens? Because there's a however in here, Bill.
Okay.
And it says, however, the celebration was soon interrupted after all of these awards. On Sunday morning, June 9th, 1985, Linda received a telephone call.
Now, we should mention that's Linda King Newell. And for some reason, Mr. Anderson likes to refer to Newell by the name Linda. So maybe he knows her personally. I don't know.
Well, then sometimes he calls her Linda Newell. So it's a hodgepodge here. But
right.
Linda, and is referring to one of the authors, received a telephone call from Dialogue business manager Fred Esplin, who had learned some distressing news that morning during his bishopric meeting. This is what he said. The bishop told us he had received words that two quote-unquote girls had written a controversial book about Emma Smith, and we were not to encourage the sale of the book by inviting them to speak in any of our church meetings, end quote.
Now, we need to think about this. This book receives all these awards, and then all of a sudden, this guy's getting a notification from his from church leaders. Now, this is, you know, bishop. This is on the local level. But they're getting their marching orders from somewhere.
And this is 8 months later after it was first published.
Okay, so they are told that it was written by two girls. Well, that wasn't very flattering, I'm sure. But it was a controversial book about Emma Smith. They were not to encourage the sale of the book by inviting them to speak in any of our church meetings. Now, the way it's worded, I can understand that because I understand the Mormon Church has a policy that you're not supposed to use church meetings to try and sell books. Now, didn't Tom Scott do that, though?
Yes, I heard he did.
Now, if you're wondering who is Tom Scott, Tom Scott wrote a book called It's True, An Evangelical Pastor's Journey to Truth in the Mormon Church. We did a large series on Mr. Scott, and if you want to catch that, we don't have time to go into it now.
It's in our archives on MRM.org.
Certainly you should listen to that.
Yeah, so, he was selling them, I understand, at firesides.
Okay.
But anyway, this business manager from Dialogue, Esplin, asked his bishop if the book in question was the one co-authored by Linda Newell and found the response both humorous and troublesome. Quote, "Oh, no, I'm sure not. Linda spoke in our ward and did a fine job. There was certainly nothing controversial in what she said. No, it's some woman from Arizona named Avery."
Which, of course, is the co-author.
Yeah.
And so there's the connection. But already the word is getting out, and the leadership have taken notice that this book is not going to be as flattering as probably most Mormons would expect when it's talking about the prophet of the Mormon movement.
So Newell telephones her bishop, who confirmed he had been similarly instructed. She then called her stake president, W. Eugene Hansen, who arranged to meet with her and Jack the following morning.
Now, Jack is her husband,
okay,
and we understand is the editor of the book. So that's who was supposed to meet here. It goes on to say that during the early Monday morning meeting, Linda King Newell, told Hansen, the stake president, we got to make sure we get all the characters here, that she had, quote, received a number of phone calls from as far south as Alpine and far north as Kaysville. Now, if you're not familiar with the geography of Utah, this is all on the I-15 corridor. Kaysville is north of Salt Lake City, and Alpine is south of Salt Lake City. That's in Utah County. It's right around the point of the mountain there, if you're familiar at all with Utah geography, which many of you probably are not, but we thought we'd tell you where that is. It said, as far south as Alpine, as far north as Kaysville, on Sunday, with reports about a ban on her speaking in LDS meetings. Hansen confirmed that he had been instructed by the Newells' regional representative, Don Osler, to tell each bishop in the stake that Linda King Newell, was not to be invited to speak in church meetings. Linda had many questions, foremost of which were, why wasn't I informed, and who instigated the ban? I think that's a fair question. You bring out a book on Mormon church history, mm-hmm, it gets all these accolades, all these awards, and then all of a sudden you find you're not even invited to talk about it in your church meetings. Now, I can understand if they're going to say, well, you're there only to make sales, and that's against the rules.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't even talk about an issue that they've spent years of their life studying. You would think, if the history is accurate, that Mormons would want to know this information. No doubt some do, but apparently the leadership doesn't want people knowing certain mm-hmm things about that history. So anyway, the stake president said that he did not know who gave the order, but would do all he could to find out. He also promised to do his best in arranging a meeting between the Newells and those responsible for the ban. And then it says in quotes, or somebody who could explain it, end quote. Linda counters to that by saying, I'm not interested in talking with someone who can explain it. I want to talk to the person who instigated it. Her husband, Jack, added, someone who can explain it is not sufficient. Linda has a right to face whoever it was that started this whole affair.
So Linda has a right to face whoever it was that started the whole affair. Does she really have a right?
Well, not, well, maybe a legal right in a legal court case she would, but not when it comes to churches, especially the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It makes its own rules. In fact, it has what they call the Handbook of Instruction, and you've got to follow the rules that are in that handbook. You're not allowed to just demand things in the Mormon Church. They owe you nothing in the Mormon Church, especially in matters like this. So here's where we want to end today's broadcast. It goes on to say that throughout the following week, that Linda King Newell received more calls from both ends of the country. Rumors were afloat that she and Avery had both been excommunicated or disfellowship.
Now, if you're not a Latter-day Saint, you might say, what's the big deal? This is a huge deal because this is everything you are as a Latter-day Saint, with the fear of losing your place as part of a member of this church. It has incredible consequences, and that's a very powerful sentence.
Absolutely. To be disfellowship means that you still have some privileges as a member in the Mormon Church. You're not allowed to teach, but you're still allowed to pay your tithes. But if you're excommunicated, you're out of the church entirely. You lose, if you're a male, any and all priesthood blessings. And so whatever you had hoped in the next life would really not be there for you.
And most importantly, you're going to lose the respect of the people you care the most about.
To have the rumor going around that you have been excommunicated or disfellowshipped,
scarlet letter,
is absolutely a horrible thing to happen to a member of the LDS Church. So when these accusations are floating around, I think it's right of them to wonder who started all this, because whoever started this needs to be held accountable. And as we're going to see tomorrow, we find out who it was that was behind this and the meeting that ensues from this demanding of Linda King Newell.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Let me ask you this. Have you ever wondered how to answer questions you were asked by your LDS friend? Well, a new resource by Kriegel Publishers and written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson is exactly what you need. Answering Mormons' Questions is a 300-page book covering 36 common questions that Mormons often pose. Now you'll have the ability to respond to them with sound biblical reasoning. The book includes a glossary of common LDS terms and has study questions at the end of each chapter. Questions such as, wouldn't you like to have your marriage and family endure for all eternity? And what's wrong with praying about the Book of Mormon are dealt with in a straightforward but loving manner. Available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, 1358 West Temple in Salt Lake City. Or if you prefer, you can order online at mrm.org. That's mrm.org. Answering Mormons' Questions. It's a resource every Christian needs.